Hebrews. I want to talk to you this morning about the glory of the resurrection. The resurrection is probably the greatest explosive deliverance for all of creation. Mankind and everything that God owns, that resurrection will changes everything. And I don't know how to say it bigger or with fancier words, but you just gotta, that is the point where God wins. And then he has his son ascended at the right hand, and he's going to send them back in glory and the coming kingdom. But without the resurrection, everything we believe is worthless. Every single thing. There's nothing worthwhile, anything in Christianity without that event. And I just want to focus in on the glory of that resurrection and what it means for our Lord and what it means for you and I. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the sufferings of death. He was made, he came, he was born, he was a human being, and even though he's Lord of all, he was a human being, and he had to suffer and die. And then he was crowned with glory and honor." So it gives you two things, two major categories, his sufferings and his death, but it doesn't end there. And he was crowned with glory and honor. That took place, the glory of the resurrection, and when he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God as high priest, he has that glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. This is God's plan. This was what God required. And he tasted death for every individual, every man, woman, and child that was ever born. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He is going to bring you and I and all those that believe on him to glory. Now if I was a shouting Methodist, I'd be hooting. We are going to glory. Now, that's something to focus in on. You know, the scriptures speak of the kingdom to come. They speak of the beauty of the kingdom. They speak of the beauty of eternal life. And it says it in many different ways, but this is just one word that kind of gives you a taste of what's coming. Glory. You know, go to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 42, it says, talking about the resurrection. It says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Person's body goes back to dust. It is raised in incorruption. It cannot be corrupted again. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory." When he was raised, when our Lord was raised, he was raised in glory. Remember he prayed in John chapter 17, his last prayer. He says, glorify thou me with the glory that thou hast from the beginning. I don't understand every aspect of that verse, but I do know this. The Lord was asking for that glory, and he got it. And he trusted the Father to give it to him. And you know what? You and I can trust our Father and his words and what our Lord has done for us, so that when the day comes when we are raised, we will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and is raised in power. So you have incorruption, you have glory, and you have power. That's what's going to happen on the day of the resurrection. It's what happened on the day of our Lord's resurrection, and it's what's going to happen for those who believe. It is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, so also will we bear the image of the heavenly. For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Your flesh and blood is not going to the kingdom. It has got to be changed. He has got to raise you incorruptible in power and in glory, a spiritual body, like our Lord and Savior. That's what's going to inherit the kingdom. You know, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that's been kept secret. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to be dead when he returns. But we shall be changed. Every single one, alive and who is dead, is going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's going to be at that last trump. You know, I didn't write this down, but maybe I can. You guys have a reference in the center for that verse. I think it's in Revelation. I know it's in Revelation. Just give me a minute here. See if I can put my finger on it. Of course, I have the wrong Bible that doesn't have it marked, so. It's when the last trump sounds. Yeah, you get Thessalonians, but there's this one verse that I would love to see, and I can't, I don't know if I can find it. But it says in the book of Revelation, and those of you who are still looking, I appreciate it. It says, when the last, when the seventh angel sounds, the last trump, that's the last one that's recorded. It says, the mystery of God will be fulfilled. You know, he says here in Corinthians, go back to Corinthians. I give up. Go back to, where is it? All right, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. See, I'm going to sound like a genius on the tape because I'll edit this. And, yeah, in start reading in verse 5. It says, and the angel which saw The angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that are therein, and there that there should be no more time, no more, no longer. For in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. That's when everything that is at that seventh, when our Lord returns, the dead in Christ rise, everything that God, it will be finished. It will be revealed. And you know what's going to happen? Resurrection. Glory. God's work, pretty much all that was kept secret so that the devil wouldn't know, it's no longer a secret. You lose. I win. I love that. It doesn't have to keep it secret any longer. Remember, it says in 1 Corinthians, it says that for had the adversary known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, had it been made known. That's why the Old Testament, it's not direct. It's not here to answer your questions about, well, what's that Messiah going to do? Why is it so cryptic? You know, so dark. You know, it's what's the proper so hidden. Why doesn't God just say what he's got to say? Why is it so hidden from us? Who this Christ, you have to piece it together. You have to piece it together, and you have to really, God's got to reveal it, because he doesn't make it plain. You know, why doesn't he just say, Jesus, the Joshua, the Messiah, is going to be the one who suffers and dies in 53, Isaiah 53. Why didn't he just spell it out? Why does he say, my servant? And then you wonder, who's the servant? Why? Because if it was that plain, the spiritual war would be lost. The devil would not have killed them. You and I wouldn't be redeemed.
We have to wait on him.
Yeah, but he has revealed it. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. So when he says in 51, I show you a mystery, this is part of it. We're not all going to sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. That's when this verse will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are raised, we are victorious. We're raised in power, incorruptible, spiritual body, in glory. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 4 it says, "For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Go to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." He's going to fashion our resurrected body like unto his glorious body. When Christ was raised, you're going to get a body like his. He was the firstborn from the dead. Your rebirth. You know, I know Christians use this term born again, and they throw it around in a lot of different ways, but the biblical, the big one, you are going to be born again at the resurrection. That's really the ultimate way in which that term should be used. That doesn't mean that other ways in which it's used is not totally incorrect. When you and I were saved, we got spirit, right? We got the spirit. We got a new life. Now, in one sense, we are born again. But not because just we got the spirit, but because we believe the gospel. Our lives were changed. I'm forever changed. But I slip back and forth. It's not like I got to work to keep it. After the resurrection, no more working. Because God will do the thing forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more doubts, no more temptations, no more grief, no more struggle with the flesh. Because the old man will be forever dead and gone. In 1 John, we're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. In 1 John, it says, chapter 3. For some reason, all these things are in chapter 3 of each book. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I can read the records that are in the scripture of Jesus Christ and his resurrected body, and I can get a little itty-bitty glimpse of what it's going to be, but I really don't know everything about it. But when he appears, I know I will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Yep. You know, go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. See, this day, the resurrection of our Lord, we celebrate, but it's the greatest thing ever. And it's that which you and I, because he was raised, we who believe on him will be raised. Right now we struggle. I don't know about you, but I struggle. We all struggle to keep our act together, to keep keep ourselves from falling according to the flesh. You know, we put the word of God on so we don't sin against him. But this is a struggle. And then we're tempted with all kinds of things. We're tempted with the needs that come our way, physically, mentally, emotionally. We've got the world around us. There's so much that comes at us. And you know what? When you stay faithful to God, stay faithful to his word, stay faithful, you're going to be rewarded with glory. Look at what this says here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'll read a little bit more of this. Verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He's going to be a partaker of the glory, just like you are, that's going to be revealed. We can read, I can say that word, glory, yeah. Right? But still, it's a shadow in my mind exactly what that looks like. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. It's going to be what Christ has got. And I know that God didn't shortchange him. And what he received in that beautiful body that he got, in the resurrection, you and I are going to receive. Now, I can't give you the measurements, but I can tell you, and I can't give you the age, and I can't give you a lot of things, but I know this. It's going to be just awesome. And Peter knows he's going to be a partaker of that glory that shall be revealed. And then he tells his leaders here, he says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint," not because you got to, "but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but for of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage." Everybody wants to run everybody else's life and run their, you know, like they're the boss. Don't do it that way. "But being examples of the flock." You know, if a man does it right, he does it this way. Just be the example. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Mm-hmm. You know, when a soldier's on the battlefield, we are spiritual warriors, right? We are. If you read Ephesians, this is a spiritual battle. A soldier doesn't receive his medals while he's in the foxhole. He goes through the entire campaign, and at the end, that's when he receives his reward, his honor, the glory, is when he is decorated after. You and I, we're going to go through this life. We are in the battle, the spiritual battle. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to stay faithful. We're going to put ourselves on the line. And at the end, you're going to receive the reward. You're going to be crowned with glory. Look at verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, afterwards that you have suffered, and a while, make you perfect and established and strengthen and settle you." You know what? Life is tough. And sometimes it is just plain hard. But he will establish you. He will strengthen you. and he has called us to eternal glory. Look at chapter 1 here, 1 Peter. Isn't this kind of neat to think about this? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You, what did Jesus Christ, when we read Hebrews, he was crowned with glory and honor. What are you going to be crowned with at his appearing? It says here that he might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise. Wouldn't it be a marvelous and wonderful thing when you are raised in glory that the Lord says to you, "Thou, my faithful servant, please enter into the kingdom of your Lord." You want to hear anything else? I just want to show you one more place in the scriptures. It's in, I didn't write it down, but I kind of liked it. It's, actually, I want to show you two places. I want to show you Matthew. I want to read this great, beautiful resurrection record here. In Matthew 28, you know, this thing was so, Jesus Christ told them when he was in Galilee, he says, "I am going to have to suffer. I'm going to be delivered unto the hands, and I am going to die, and I am going to be raised the third day." And it went right over their head. He told them, and it went right over their head. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't. So when he was crucified, they all ran for the hills, his men. They were afraid. They were hiding behind closed doors, it says, for fear of the Jews a little later on after. You couldn't find them for dust. It was just the ladies, his mom, some of the women that loved him. They were there at the cross. You know, women weren't, I don't know why, but all I know is that they were the most loyal. And this lady, Mary Magdalene, she shows up. She doesn't show up because she thinks he's going to get up from the dead. She shows up at the tomb so that she can take care of his body and do what's necessary, right, to bury him properly. I mean, nobody believed he was getting up. Talk about mystery. Talk about hidden. I mean, it wasn't because they didn't love him. They just didn't get it. Even when he told them this is going to happen, they didn't get it. It didn't flow together. In verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, in the beginning, as it began to dawn, and that's really the word dusk, right? Towards the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. I mean, God's not doing this thing in secret. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The guards that were there, like dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you unto Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they went, "He is risen." Those guards, let me just get out of the way. And then they go back, report what they saw. They get bribed. Don't let anybody know that this really happened. Lies are really powerful things. People speak lies, and if they speak them often enough, right? And I don't care what subject is. You've seen it in your own life. You've seen it in families. You've seen it in our nation. You've seen it all. But the point is, you lie. And those words have power. And if you choose to believe a lie, like, he didn't really get up. They stole his body. They took it away. Guess what? You don't believe, and you don't receive. That's why God spends so much time saying in Corinthians 15, there's about 500 people that are still alive, and the greater part are still alive right now that have seen him in his resurrected body, eyewitnesses. Now, I have to believe that account, and I do, because I know my Lord lives. See, I've got God in Christ in me, which is my hope of glory. And I am so looking forward to his return. And in this meantime, during the struggle, I'm going to do everything in my power to stay faithful, to do his word, to love his people, to care, to do it the way the Lord would have me to do it, and not the way my ego would have me to do it. And then when that day comes, I can just desire that I would hear that little bit of praise and receive the glory and the honor that he wants to give. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And let me pray. And I love you guys online. And gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your magnificent word and for the promise that we have of eternal life and having a body like unto our Lord's glorious body. I thank you, Father, for opening up our understanding, giving us such encouragement with your word. I thank you for your love, Father. I thank you for your blessing on the food that we're about to enjoy together. Thank you for those who abundantly share, God, for your multiplying it back to them, for the outreach of your word. And I ask you, Lord, for your blessing on your people everywhere this day. Bear your arm for your children, my God, and help us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.